Okay, so I think I'm the coordinator of Buddha Garden. I'm not always quite sure. There's four of us actually in Buddha Garden. I started it about 10 years ago, and there's now four of us work together to grow food. We grow mostly vegetables and a bit of fruit. So it's quite sort of intensive work. And what I'd like to do is to talk to you about the methods that we use. It's not so much the methods as the approach that we use to grow food and to grow it in a sustainable way. Now for us, sustainable means I'll go back there. To start with, we look at the elements of food growing, and these elements are the same whatever kind of farming you do. Whether it's industrial farming, biodynamic farming, the elements of food growing are the same. And the first of all is the soil, the water, the plants, the animals, the pests and diseases, and all these five things, these five elements, come together so that we can actually grow food. And the reason that I sort of got interested in this is we have a lot of volunteers on our farm. The four of us work together. We actually do all the work with the help of volunteers. And a lot of them said to me, how do you grow food? How do you grow organic food? So when I started trying to explain to them what we were doing, of course, we found that a lot of them come from the West, where the climate's very different, and even from different parts of India, the conditions are very different. So what I tried to do was to think, well, what are the things that are applicable to all the different farms wherever they are in the world? And so what I'm going to talk about is actually an approach. Our approach, I call it earth engagement, because it's a way of sort of engaging with the earth to grow food in a way that's sustainable. And as I said, get back to the what sustainability really means. And for us, what it means is that we interact with each of those elements in a way that means that it can go on producing food. We that it keeps renewing itself. And to do this, what you need to do is to understand each element, about where it comes from, how it develops, and then when you have that understanding, you can then look at your actual practical example of wherever you're doing it and say, well, how can I make the soil sustainable? And the actual techniques you use will be quite different depending on where you are. And if you don't know what to do, you actually just look around at nature and you see what nature's doing. And that will give you a good idea about what you could actually do on your farm to grow food. So, hang on, let's see this. Yes, soil. Now, soil is the most important element in food growing. And because all our food comes from the soil, I think apart from fish, that comes from the water. And, that's whether we eat the plants directly or whether we eat animals. You know, the food that the animals eat actually come from the soil. So you need to have a healthy soil. And if you have a healthy soil, you'll have healthy plants and you will be healthy. Now, in doing organic farming, in conventional farming, what happens is that they use fertilizer, which is basically a sort of chemical that you put in the soil, and then it dissolves in the water and the plants suck it up. Now, in organic farming, it's a bit different because we see the soil as a living organism because it has a lot of bacteria in it, and we work quite hard, actually, at making sure that there's quite a lot of bacteria in it. Now, we use something called activated soil bacteria, which is where we take our soil and we get the bacteria to grow in a sort of medium of jaggery and plant extract, and then we put it back into the soil with lots of organic matter. The soil around here is very clay, and so we need to put a lot of organic matter in it so that the plants can actually get them. There's quite a lot of nutrients in a clay soil, but the plants can't get to it unless there's a lot of bacteria there. So that's what we spend a lot of time doing. They also, there's nutrients in the soil that you need, sort of nitrogen, phosphorus and stuff like that. And there's various ways that we try and, mostly by growing plants. When I come onto the plant section, I'll talk about that in more detail. Okay, so, but we spend a lot of time on our soil making compost. That's the other thing we do. If you look at the plants around, you know, the trees and things, you find they just grow. And what a compost making is doing is basically hurrying up a process that happens naturally when the organic matter breaks down into something called humus, which is a nutrient for the plant. Now that happens naturally, and in a compost heap you just do it a bit quicker. So we spend a lot of time doing that, and every time we grow something, we put nutrients back into the soil, and then we also grow plants that put nutrients back into the soil. Well, as I said, I'll talk about that later. Okay, so water is the other thing that we're very, very careful with here. It seems that our aquifer, we have a well, so we're drilling down to get water up from under the ground. Now, the water gets there by that wet stuff falling down from the sky, percolating through the soil and going into the aquifer, which is where the water actually collects under the soil. Now, regrettably, we're sucking up more from the soil than we have water, wet stuff falling down onto the soil by about 80%. So we really do have big, you know, in the future there's going to be big water problems here unless we can do something about it. And I'm sure that in this seminar you will hear all about it, so I won't talk at length about it. Now what we do, you can actually see here, there's a drip line. Hang on, this thing, is it this one? Ah, yes, there. We in Buddha Garden we have irrigation pipes and drippers to deliver the water directly to where the plants are so that we don't waste any water. Now, a lot of people use sort of flood irrigation here, so the water's just kind of flooding out and then a lot of it just evaporates and it doesn't actually go on the plant. So we try and save as much water as we can. The thing is, though, that if you save water, it financially speaking, it's not actually financially very good for the farm because you're getting all these drip lines and everything, and they're quite expensive. But we do it because, you know, we know that we need to. So, plants. Well, like soil, plants are the basis of most of our food. And they play a major part in a lot of important natural cycles that are essential to the overall health of the earth. When we're thinking about what plants to grow, we grow plants that we know people love to eat, because that's why we grow all this basil, actually, because people love to eat basil. And where possible, we grow local varieties that actually can cope with the climate here. Now, the other thing that we do is we have our own seeds. We collect our seeds, and gradually the seeds get the plants over the generations. They get used to growing in this climate, and particularly in the micro sort of climate of Buddha Garden. And the pumpkin that's going around in the pot, that's actually one of our seed lines that we're doing. The beans too, and also the basil. We've actually got quite a few seeds. So the plants, our plants are basically local plants. We don't really try growing non-local stuff. The other thing with the plants is that we do we plant different sorts of plants and what's called crop rotation, because if certain plants take nutrients out of the soil, a certain range of nutrients. Then if you plant another sort of plant, they'll take a different range of nutrients. And some plants will actually put stuff back into the soil, and particularly beans. That this is something they clear out the soil, they also put nitrogen into the soil. And so we have a variety of different crops. Also, we grow a sweet potato. They're very good. It's a root crop, and it sort of helps to clean out the soil. So as well as putting compost in, the crop rotation is very important for keeping the soil in a good condition. The other thing is, with crop rotation, you have to... It helps with the pests as well. You don't get the build-up of pests. This is quite important for things like tomatoes, because if you grow tomatoes, you know, too many times, you get this terrible thing called tomato wilt. And that's because the nematodes have all built up in the soil and they attack the roots. But if you grow tomatoes, say, once every 3 years in the same soil, you don't get that problem. Yes? Okay, so... hang on, next one. Now, animals. Now, I've actually got a cow here, but we don't actually have cows in Buddha Garden, mainly because we don't want to milk them, because cows have to be milked twice a day, 365 days a year, and we don't actually want to do it. So we don't have cows, but we do have chickens. And the thing about animals is that they actually help with, especially in this area, for making compost. You can use the animal dung. So what we do, we actually have chickens, and the chickens are there to make compost. So what we have a yard where the chickens go, and they're local chickens, so they can deal with the heat and the wet and everything. They also are able to eat. We have no more chickens. We have no more than 50 chickens, because that's what we can grow the food for. Everything that comes off the beds, the weeds and all that kind of stuff, we give to the chickens. Now what the chickens do, they eat. That's actually a source of food for them. And they piss and shit on it and they turn it into compost. And once every 3 months we go into the yard and we take that absolutely wonderful compost out. It's very high in nitrogen. The plants all really love it. So how you integrate, the animals need to be integrated into the whole food growing process, and of course the animals are themselves will produce food. Now the thing about our chickens is they're local chickens, so they're quite small, and they don't grow a lot, they don't lay a lot of eggs, but they do lay some eggs, and you know, they're very nutritious. They're quite small and they're totally organic, because everything that they eat comes from Buddha Garden. And so we have, but we don't have very many of them. And I did keep a lot more chickens, because eggs are something, everybody wants eggs. But what I found was that they eat a huge amount of food. My God, I had 100 chickens, and I mean, there was no way we could grow food for that. So I had to buy it. I couldn't buy organic chicken food. And so we ended up producing expensive eggs that weren't organic, which, as far as I'm concerned, I didn't want to do. I mean, in some ways the eggs were much better, because they did have some organic food, so they had nice orange yolks and all that sort of stuff. I personally didn't want to do it. And when the chickens stopped laying, we decided we wouldn't ever do that again. So with our chickens, they're there to make compost. That's their job. And the eggs, that's a bonus. And the chickens, if you want to eat chickens, because some people come to us at Christmas and say, can we please have a chicken? And we say yes, and it's a very tasty chicken, that's a bonus. So the chickens sort of like, they sort of cover the cost of themselves. But, as Kais will probably tell you, there's a huge demand for eggs here. And I have to say that method of keeping chickens is not going to produce large amounts of eggs. So maybe we have to actually eat less eggs and less animal food altogether. I don't know. Anyway, the other thing about animals, actually, is that they will eat things. And they will, if you think of sheep, for instance, they will, you can put them on land where you couldn't actually grow anything. And same with the goats. So they'll go and they'll eat stuff, and they'll make sort of milk and food on land that you couldn't actually grow stuff on. So that's another advantage of animals. And they do sort of, that you know, they can be part of the whole kind of food growing process. Okay, so hang on. The last thing is the pests and diseases. Now, if you're a conventional farmer, you get rid of these absolutely, completely. What we try and do if we're an organic farmer is we try and keep the pests and diseases down to a level where they don't bother us in various ways. Now, I can tell you that the best thing, a healthy plant in a healthy soil, is your best defence against pests. It really is. The first year I started Buddha Garden, it was terrible. The plants were so weak because the soil wasn't very good and they were just full of pests. Now we rarely have to spray. I mean, we use various methods actually. One thing is to grow pest-resistant strains of plants. The Basella, actually, which is going around in the pot, that's that sort of spinach stuff, that's actually pretty pest-resistant. The other thing you can try, particularly if you're using sort of doing things like cabbages and stuff, is to use nets to keep the insects off. Crop rotation, as I've said before, that's quite important. The other thing we do, we rely on quite a lot, if we watch the plants quite carefully, and if we see a disease, we'll just cut it off and take it away from the plant. And that's often enough for the plant to sort of, you know, get over it. So we do that. And if the worst comes to the worst, we've actually got a number of biological sprays, which we make ourselves using mostly neem in various neem leaves or neem seeds. And that gets rid of a lot of the pests. But actually, I have to say, we're not that bothered by pests. Apart from certain times of the year, we've just had all this rain and I notice a lot of leatherbacked slugs around. And I think they're going to get onto our basil. And what we'll have to do there is we'll probably pick them off every morning and we'll keep the paths very clear. Because what they do is they drop down onto the grass during the day when it's all hot and then they crawl back up at night. But if you keep the grass really short, there's nowhere for them to go. So they go away, we hope. Okay, so let's see if... Yes, I put this. This is sort of like bringing it all together. One of the things is when you sort of get this wonderful piece of land, and I really count myself as very privileged to have a plot of land that I can work on. You know, you need a vision, and I always say to people, you know, you really do need the vision because at times it's the only thing that's going to keep you going. So you need to make sure you know about what your vision is for the piece of land. And of course, what you do on a piece of land will be very much, you know, as I said, your place. So that's like your place, you know, and it has certain limitations. It's got limitations and it's got possibilities. And, you know, your vision is about what you're going to do, how you're going to bring all these five things together in that place to grow food. And growing food is not a mechanical process, well, at least not the way we do it. It's more of a dance. It's more of a dance between the earth, the land, your place, your vision, and these five elements. And all the time, you're sort of bringing them together to grow food. And that's for me, is really what it's about. It's also, for me, a very strong spiritual practice as well. And that is what I call it, the heart of earth engagement. And that's what we do every day. 6:15 to 9. Anybody like to come and help us, please do. Okay.